Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. I'm your host, Janelle Hart. With this episode, we begin a series of podcasts on the topic of genitourinary syndrome and menopause, or GSM. Over the course of this series, Dr. Rachel S. Rubin will discuss why it is important for urology providers to be educated regarding this condition, how to diagnose it in patients, and how to treat it. Rubin is a board-certified urologist with fellowship training in sexual medicine. She's an assistant clinical professor in urology at Georgetown University and practices as an intimate medicine specialist in Washington, D.C. In this episode, Rubin provides an overview of GSM with Urology Times managing editor, Ben Saylor.
What is genitourinary syndrome of menopause?
Genitourinary syndrome of menopause, or GSM for short, as we like to call it, it's been around forever, but it's a relatively new term. We used to call it vulvovaginal atrophy or vaginal atrophy. And don't tell a woman her vagina is atrophic. She really doesn't like it. It's not nice. And actually, I've had patients come to see me very offended because their doctors told them they had atrophy. And so around 2014, 2015, a big group of people got together, including the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health and the Menopause Society, and they got together and they said, we really have to change the definition because it's not just atrophy. It is both the signs and the symptoms that happen to the genitourinary tract when there is no longer hormones available. And so the definition of genitourinary syndrome of menopause is sort of, again, the symptoms and signs that happen when there is no hormones to the tissue. And the symptoms are things like genital dryness, decreased lubrication, pain with sexual activity, decrease in arousal, orgasm, desire. But it's not just about sex. It's irritation and burning and itching of the vulva and vagina. And for a urologist, it includes dysuria, urinary frequency, urinary urgency. And those are the symptoms. But then there are signs, right? There are signs that you can actually see on the tissue. You can see the decreased elasticity. You can see the labia minora literally resorb and disappear. I always joke, if the penis shriveled up at age 52, we would have vaccines for prevention, but the labia really shrink up and go away. You see paleness of the tissue. You see erythema and irritation. You lose the vaginal rugae or the wrinkles in the vagina. And so it changes. The urethra can start to protrude and prolapse, and women will develop recurrent urinary tract infections, which again is the most important thing and the most important takeaway of why this is relevant for urologists to learn how to treat, because this will prevent recurrent urinary tract infections much more than any of the other therapies that we regularly use as urologists.
Why are so few women treated for GSM?
Oh, from your lips to God's ears, we can change that. You know, so if you look at all women who have GSM, less than 6% of symptomatic women are even on any therapy. And I think it is for multiple reasons. Number one, nobody wants to take ownership of GSM. So the gynecologists don't prescribe these medications very often. Often women have to come complaining of painful sex in order for them to get treatment. And also, urologists historically don't think of this as their problem, right? This is a gynecology problem. And so nobody wants to take ownership. And it's a huge problem because now nobody does it, right? The vulva tends to be no man's land, where urologists get the urethra, gynecologists get the cervix and the vagina, but then the clitoris, the vulva, all of it is completely ignored by all medical professionals.
What are some common misconceptions surrounding GSM?
So common misconceptions are that this is not a urologic problem. Common misconceptions are that vaginal hormone therapy is dangerous or can cause cancer or can cause any problems at all. There are misconceptions about how much therapy to use. So it drives me crazy when urologists tell their patients to just use a dab of estrogen cream at the urethra and that's going to fix their problem. It's not enough and there's no reason not to use the correct dosage. And so there's no education, there's no training to urology residents of how to treat GSM about, you know, they may even know it's important, but they don't know how to do it. And if you don't know how to write that prescription, and you don't know how to educate your patient on how to use it and why it's important, the prescriptions don't get filled, they don't get refilled, insurance companies don't like to cover it. And so there's no advocacy in changing, you know, the cost of these medications. And so it just doesn't get done. And we're hurting women because of it.
And you touched on this already a little bit, just in, you know, you were mentioning the connection with UTI, but why is it important for urologists and urology NPs and PAs to be educated regarding this condition?
So as urologists, we see recurrent UTIs so much. They flood our clinics. They come back. They don't leave. They keep calling. They call on the weekends. They are in pain, right? These women, I always joke in urology, when we really don't like a patient population, whether it's testicular pain or chronic pelvic pain or interstitial cystitis, the reason we don't like those patient populations is because we're not good at treating them. And GSM, these recurrent UTI patients, are really frustrating for many of my colleagues because they don't know how to properly treat them and get them to feel better. And so I think it's beyond important to get urologists, to get all providers who are seeing urologic patients to understand that if you fix the problem, right, they don't need the band-aids, they don't need the pyridium, they don't need the postcoital macrobid, that you will build their tissue to be strong and healthy so that they can prevent problems from happening. I'll tell you, I've been in practice, you know, almost 4 years now, and my phone does not ring off the hook for women with UTIs. And I realized that the other day of like, wait a minute, all my colleagues are complaining nonstop. My phone doesn't ring on the weekends because these women aren't getting UTIs, because they are protected, because their tissue is strong and healthy, because they understand why it's so important to treat their GSM and to keep treatment going. This is lifelong treatment. The vagina is never going to be estrogenized again. The bladder and the urethra are never going to be estrogenized again. So unless you put local vaginal hormones in, they won't get any, you know, they won't get better.
And what are the barriers to prescribing therapy for GSM?
So the barriers are urologists aren't trained, right? They stick to the treatments that they have been around since the 70s, which are the vaginal creams. And women don't like putting creams in their vagina. They actually hate it. It's icky, it's gooky. They don't like the discharge. And there are many therapies that have come out since the 1970s, but urologists don't get trained on it. They don't come to the American Urologic Association conferences. They don't have booths. They don't send their reps. And that's a problem because this is a gynecology problem. But urologists need to be more comfortable prescribing these therapies. There are barriers to getting patients to understand that they are essential, that they are safe, that they do not cause cancer. There's a boxed warning that comes on the therapies that is just wrong. There's an FDA label that said it's going to cause blood clots, stroke, heart attacks, breast cancer, dementia. 0% of that is true. And the FDA basically agrees that 0% of it is true. And yet they keep the boxed labeling on there. So we have barriers with the box labeling. Price can sometimes be a barrier for many patients because these therapies can often be expensive. So it's a problem all around.
Is there a role for urology advocacy in making these therapies affordable?
I would love that more than anything in the world. In 2019, the AUA came out with a wonderful set of guidelines that include for a recurrent urinary tract infection. And in those guidelines include giving vaginal hormone therapy to peri and postmenopausal women with recurrent UTIs. It's in our guidelines. It is very clear cut. There is very high level evidence to support it. And so I think it behooves the American Urologic Association and the advocacy groups to stand up and say, this is crazy. We have millions and millions of patients who need these therapies, and they need them to be affordable. They need them to know that they are safe. There is not an ounce of data to show danger from local vaginal estrogen therapy. And so it just is mind-boggling how much work we have to do to sort of fix this problem.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.